Please turn with me to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, we'll be reading the first six verses of this psalm. The New King James Version gives it a title in addition to a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, and says, Man's Wickedness and God's Perfections. Verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he founds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. The New Testament connection is found in verse 1 of the psalm. It's quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. He quotes the latter part of verse 1, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The discourse that Paul is engaged in his letter is regarding the sinfulness of both Jew and Gentile. The Jews no doubt thought that they, as children of Abraham, would be safe. But he, at length, would try to convict them of their sin and how far they have strayed, and that Gentiles also are under the condemnation of sin. This psalm, verses 1 to 4, speak about man's wickedness. It's described there. Verses 5 and 6 talks about God's perfections. We'll get to that. Verses 7 to 10 is the effect of God's perfections upon his people. And verse 11 and 12 writes about the way of the wicked and the end of the wicked. We'll get to the last two parts of the psalm next time. But first of all, verses 1 to 4 speak about man's wickedness, and it describes it. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. That word transgression implies a revolt, a rebellion against God and against his word, against his law, against his people, against his ministers. So many different things. And it accurately describes the heart of men as being in rebellion against the Lord, against all that he stands for, all that he has given, against the Creator himself, the very one who gave them breath. They're in rebellion against him. They're described as being wicked. It's the transgression of the wicked. That just means that they're in the wrong because they have transgressed against the law of God. They're in the wrong and have become enemies of God. That sounds harsh, but that is the case, and that's what Paul was trying to convict the people of, that to whom he was writing, that they had been enemies of God. He gives a sort of outline of how to preach the gospel. First of all, to start off with the plight of mankind, the plight of every individual against God, that they're enemies of God. But of course he goes on to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist here, David, does the same. He speaks about the wickedness of man, but then talks about the perfections of God and that he is Saviour. There is no fear before God. No fear of God before his eyes, or their eyes, as Paul writes. That word fear, it means dread and terror. It also could mean reverence and the fear of the Lord. The Greek word that Paul uses is phobos, where we get phobia from. People have no fear of God, no fear of the consequences of their sin. He flatters himself with his own eyes. He's proud of all that he is, all that he does. He's proud of his situation, proud of what he has achieved in wickedness. And it talks about his iniquity. Iniquity means evil, but it also implies guilt. And it's that feeling of guilt that people need to feel before they can become a believer in the forgiveness of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Wickedness there, it's a different, slightly different word to the word wicked, obviously, because it means emptiness. It means vanity. It means nothingness. There is nothing achieved in the wickedness and the sin of man other than their own destruction. It doesn't bring anything to them, only things that are bad, only an end that is awful, the wickedness of man. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself. And you can just picture the scheming person devising up new ways of wickedness while they're lying on their bed, when they should be seeking rest, when they should be seeking the Lord at those times. But instead, they devise ways of being evil, ways of committing evil. And the person has set himself in a way that is not good. And there comes a time in the life of someone who is wicked where their ways are set, and it becomes very difficult for them to change, but not impossible, because God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, can change someone who is so set in this way of wickedness. The Apostle Paul himself, when he was Saul, the destroyer of the church, was set in those ways of wickedness and rebellion against the God who he thought he loved, the God whose commandments he thought he was following. He was set in his ways, but the light of the Lord broke through into the heart and the life of Saul, Paul the Apostle. The wickedness of man is not something that cannot be overcome by the goodness of God and the love of God. And we can give praise for that. That word devises, by the way, it means to weave, to fabricate. It's a planned evil, a planned way of committing evil. Then we come to verses 5 and 6, which talk about the perfections of the Lord. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. the mercy of God, that loving kindness, which would speak to the sinner, which would speak to the wicked, words of love, words of invitation to come to him, to trust in him, to put away those wicked ways and turn to the Lord. It's his merciful heart that leads us to the cross of Christ. It's that merciful heart that set it up, a way of forgiveness, a way of life. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. He is faithful. That word means security and stability. It's a firm footing for somebody's life, the faithfulness of God. What he says will take place. If he says that we are forgiven because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are forgiven because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have all the benefits of that forgiveness, the new life through the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, in our lives. His faithfulness is such that it reaches to the clouds. His faithfulness and his truthfulness. What he says will come to pass. Then there is his righteousness. Your righteousness is like the great mountains, or as some translate it, the mountains of God. His righteousness, that means that he is blameless. It means that he is truth. That means that he is full of integrity. What he says will come to pass. His judgments are blameless. The judgment of our that was ours, that was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, is blameless. The judgment against the sinner who, unrepentant, goes down to those depths of hell, the judgments of God are blameless. But that can be avoided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way of life that is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. The judgment of God was placed upon him. My judgment he took. My sin he took, and his blood washed it away. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. That word preserve, it means to save. It talks about deliverance. He is the Savior. There is none who can save but our Savior God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the offer that we give to the world, that there is a Savior. We can point to the one who died upon that cross, our Savior, who rose again from the dead, our Savior, who ascended into heaven and ministers there now, our Savior, and who will come again, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is one who can save and bring deliverance from this wickedness that Paul goes into great depths of description that should lead people to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is one who saves, who delivers. We thank you for the faithfulness of God, who has promised and will fulfill that promise of deliverance. We can rely upon him and his word. And we pray that you'll help us today as we seek to spread the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, to point to him as the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for your help, that you'll continue to be with us and help us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.